Thank you, Patty. And I'm pleased to be here. I'm pleased to be able to say a few words. I know you're a little bit late in your agenda, but as you know, we like, as national president, we like to talk to you a little bit, explain where we are, what we want to achieve, and where we want to go. So especially at this time, when you have so many issues going on, and especially with the political atmosphere you have in BC, it's so charged and so interesting. I have to say I would like to live here to see that in the next coming month, what will happen, what will evolve and everything. But you have the opportunity as well to get the politics right. Get the politics right by voting no to Gordon Campbell. And I want to say it clearly, so clear that in fact even Gordon Campbell will understand that no means no. It's time for you to go. On May 17, I hope that the PSCC members do their part to end the Campbell regime. I was looking at some polling data on the plane on my way out here and was heartened to learn that only 3 in 10 British Columbians approve the way that Gordon Campbell is handling his job as the Premier of British Columbia. I have to say, coming from Quebec, Campbell ties Charest in Quebec with the worst approval rating of any Premier at the moment. And I have to say, I enjoyed that too. You have seen the polls as well. And I suspect that some people, including some within our membership team, they can sit the election out, that Campbell's numbers are so bad that he will defeat himself. I say this to them and to you, think again. Despite an abysmal performance rating, despite attack after attack on working people and public services, Campbell is sitting high enough in the polls to snap victory from the jaws of defeat and actually win the second term. And I will say why. That's my perception, at least my view on this. The Green Party is a factor, but it's not the only one. There's another reason. The NDP is trailing the Liberals by a wide margin amongst young voters. Here's another reason. 40% of private sector union members expect to vote for Campbell. Here's another reason. Public sector workers are less likely than their private sector brothers and sisters to vote for Campbell. But they are also less likely, by a long shot, to vote for the NDP. In fact, in the face of Campbell's attacks, 14% of public sector workers are still undecided. And that's scary. And then go encourage, educate, and cajole your brothers and sisters in workplaces across the province and get them thinking that it's time for a change. Time for government that supports workers and their family and not Bay Street and corporate BC. Thank you. While I'm on the subject of public opinion, let me say a thing or two about the single transferable vote referendum. John Baglow, that some of you know, a former PSCC National Capital Region and a founding member of Fair Vote Canada, told me that the other day that it will need to be a rocket scientist to understand the single transferable vote and a political scientist to like it. I'm neither. And I suspect that most people in BC are not either. But the complexity and the confusion ingrained in the system may explain why 4 in 10 BC residents don't know whether they will vote for or against a system designed to replace the antiquated and unfair first-past-the-post-most system. All of this adds up to two very good reasons why our union needs to be politically involved, why we need to put money behind campaigns to defeat the likes of Gordon Campbell and, in Quebec, Jean Charest. Sister Duchamp at the last AEC made the case, and the AEC unanimously agreed to contribute $20,000 to our work to help defeat the Campbell government. I also want to take this opportunity to congratulate the BC region for the focused and innovative approach that you have constantly taken with regard to political action. From phone banks during last year's federal election, and as part of the BC Fed's Count Me In campaign to education, you have led the way, and I want to tell you that your work is noticed and appreciated. I want to switch gears a little and talk about political action at the federal level. We can see, depending where we stand, it's quite interesting at this time. A few weeks ago, I would have denied the possibility of a federal election in 2005 and believe, with almost absolute certainty, that an election will be held in the spring of 2006, but certainly not before this fall. I have to say I'm not sure about that prediction anymore. The Gomery Inquiry has become the highest rated TV show in Quebec over the last month or so, to say, usually we're not interested in politics, and the leaks of testimony covered by a publication ban to the public through Libertarian, a.k.a. Christian Right, organization and individual in the States are explosive and may well convince the Liberals to force an election before it gets worse, or the Conservatives to force an election to capitalize on what I suspect will be their only real change of power in the foreseeable future. And that's quite scary as well. An election will not be good for PSEC members or for public service delivery, and it won't be good for working people generally. If it's called any time soon, the election will be about ethics in government and about allegations of corruption. Despite this, we need to be ready for a snap election. And while it will be hard to get our issues addressed, we need to work with our members to assure that they vote on the issues that are clearly important to them and their family. Let me switch gears again and take a look at the state of our union. Today marks the opening of the first of 7 PSEC regional conventions, to be followed by 17 component conventions, and finally the May 2006 PSEC triennial convention in Toronto. That's quite a cycle. This convention cycle is historic since for the first time in our history, that was said this morning, regional conventions have the opportunity, the right, and the privilege of electing our EVPs. More than 3,000 members will participate in these landmark events that will see new faces in leadership positions, new policy, and an agenda for the future. In a few short weeks, I will be in the last year of my six-year term in office as PSEC National President. When I took office in May 2000, I pledged that I will leave the union stronger than it was on the day I took office. I pledged that we would become more socially and politically active, that we would refocus on bargaining and education, and that we put to rest some of the long-standing obstacles to internal unity, solidarity, and strength. I have to say, easier said than done. And history will judge where we have succeeded and where there's more work to be done. But I have to tell you, I am proud, fundamentally proud, of our union and the direction that we are headed. We no longer hide from issues that have the potential to divide us. BC led the way in condemning the impending war in Iraq and Canada's involvement in Bush war. It wasn't an easy debate within Andy, but I think it's fair to say that we worked through it like never before. I remember as well that early, very early in my tenure, tension erupted between the government of Canada and the Burnt Church Native community and the PSEC. A union that has the privilege of representing both fishery officers and employees of the Burnt Church Band Council took a stand. I went to Burnt Church in the late summer of 2000 and talked to the members on both sides on the confrontation and tried to work to ease the tension. I would say that would not have happened in the past. And I think that we can all be proud that our union is strong enough to get involved and take a position on every issue that affects our members, even when it has divided them. We're also more socially active than ever before. The PSEC has provided more moral and in-kind support to the Equal Marriage Coalition than any other organization in Canada. Why? because in 2005, it is the defining human rights issue of the time, and in many ways is of the same magnitude as our pay equity complaints were in the 70s, 80s, and 90s. Our 2003 convention connected our leadership with union activists from the South, and mark a new era in international solidarity within the PSEC, an era where the members at the regional and local levels, and not just national leaders, will be connected with union members facing privatization, human rights abuse, and the like in countries like Colombia. Our Social Justice Fund has started this process, and I think that it has the potential to become a significant part of what our union stands for and does. I have to talk about bargaining. Bargaining has been really hard during my tenure, and I have to recognize that as well, especially for the larger groups who negotiate with the federal government and its various agencies. There have been victories, such as negotiated recognition of the Table 2 pay study, and sick leave carryover for Renew Canada term workers, but there have also been setbacks and concessions such as the days a day issue at Treasury Board and a number of agency employers, as well as severance pay at Canada Post. It's a small solace, I know, but in context, we have done better than most. Bargaining at the federal level in the context of wage rollbacks and cuts, both here in BC and in Quebec and Newfoundland, was a real challenge. And ultimately, I believe that we achieved all that was possible, and that only because we have a united membership ready and willing to take to the picket lines. I said that I want to leave the union stronger than on the day that I assume office, and for that to happen, we need to strengthen the authority of the national president in the bargaining process. That's a concept, and I know it's not universally supported, but I'm committed to raising and supporting the concept at the next PSEC convention. I also want to say, with regard to the state of our union, that we have stronger regions in 2005 than we did in 2000. Part of that it was inevitable, as regions build their councils, political action, education, and the like. But part of the reason is that we are providing regions with more resources, both money and staff resources. There is a lot more to be done in this regard, and I'm committed to taking the next step when the executive and the board develop the PSEC budget for 2007-2010. I say this because during the course of this convention and at many other regional conventions as well, resolution transferring staff and resources to the region will be ruled out of order. They will be ruled out of order because they violate the PSEC constitution. But ruling them out of order does not mean that we won't move in the direction that they advocate. We will, and you can take that to the bank. Finally, with regard to the state of our union, I want to say that we are more united at the executive level as well as the board level that we were on the day that I took office. The executive is stronger because our regions are stronger, and because we are lucky enough to have a cadre of our EVPs who understand that a strong union not only needs strong regions, components, and locals, but a strong national union as well. The National Board of Directors is stronger and more united as well, and this despite the fact that I've been quite proactive in resolving, sometimes in a heavy-handed way, some of the long-standing jurisdictional tension between components. I'm mindful that when I talk about the PSEC at the national level, that it is distant from the average member and even many activists. A member that says formal knows his employer, his co-workers, and the issue that make working there easier. Stepping out of that environment and participating at the regional level, where many of the issues don't have such an immediate impact on the local membership and work site, is hard for busy local activists, and making a difference can take longer. The same applies, I have to say, at the national level. But, as I've said, a strong union needs strong and active locals. It needs a strong regional presence. It needs as well a strong national union. And in the case of the PSEC, it needs strong components. Let me say a couple of things about components as well. Later this year, I will have an opportunity to speak at most component conventions. I will take the opportunity to push the envelope and say that while most components are stronger and more focused than they were a few years ago, there remains a number of problems with our structure that can only be addressed if components are willing to explore mergers and membership realignments that more appropriately reflect the organization of work within our major employers, especially within the federal government. They are never easy discussion, but they are even harder discussion when a component president is newly elected. That's a reality in 2005 because a number of component presidents are retiring and the opportunity exists for serious discussion and real change. Finally, this union has always faced challenges and today is no different. In many sectors, employers are on a collision course with workers over benefits of all kinds. And I think that maintaining benefits at current levels is going to be a hugely difficult undertaking. We're not on the front line on this battle as yet, and I think that the acid test will take place during auto sector bargaining with the CAW later this year. If the CAW loses, other major employers, including governments, will quickly follow. Now, employers will always table concession, but I've rarely seen such an employer commitment to concession across labor market sector that we see emerging on this issue. A second challenge, and one that is more immediate for the PSEC, is the whole public service modernization process that the Martin government is initiating. It is going to have an impact on everything, from staffing to bargaining, from how we conduct strikes and strike votes to who can vote on tentative agreements. It is an issue that has very real and immediate implications that are mostly negative at the local, regional, component, and national levels. Protecting members in this new environment is another reason why we need a union that is strong and united at the local, regional, component, and national levels. Finally, we have the whole issue of government reorganization and expenditure and program reviews that are too numerous to mention. But the fact is that over the next 5 years, the jobs of at least 12,000 of our members will be affected, and more than 2,500 jobs will be eliminated. A few components, especially GSU, Government Service Union, and Union of Taxation Employees, are being hit hard by this continual reorganization. And I'm happy to say that both of them are being proactive and have developed very good campaigns and will work tirelessly with the full support of the PSEC National Office to protect our members and service to the Canadian public. Big campaigns are appointed, but I want to assure all members that the PSEC will work as diligently to protect members affected by smaller reorganization. And I think especially the elimination here of 18 SSO jobs in British Columbia is not less important for us at the national level. All jobs are important, and we want to make sure that we protect the job as well as the public sector workers. So on this, I wish you again a good conference for the next few days. It's starting well, and like I said, you are leading the way, and thank you again for inviting me. Thank you very much. Merci beaucoup.